call to order the City of Lapine work session, May 24, 2017 at 6:29 p.m. We've already done the, well, I guess we need another roll call. Quorum. Stu, can you start?
Stu Martinez, present.
Connie Breeze, present.
Don Grider, present.
Karen Ward, present.
Okay, full council. We'll move right ahead. Number two, updates on City Hall sign project.
Update on City Hall sign project. So, we are moving forward with Szabo Landscape Architecture to design a monument sign here at City Hall to be determined, other than flagpoles that are included for sure. We'll go through the process. All of you had their contract and saw the, we'll have some meetings as the next couple months play on, is my guess. Tomorrow, they're gonna be here at 3:30 to walk, to basically have a kickoff meeting where to walk the site again, to talk about the timeline, to talk about who the point person is, it'll be me. And then what I would like to get, and then also to sign the contract. I had legal draw up their professional services contract, so we'll execute that tomorrow, make it official. What I'd like a little bit of input on from council, potentially, is when we do kick this off in earnest in terms of having a meeting, who should be the working group that influences what the sign looks like? Should it just be the council? Should it be the council plus maybe a certain number of citizen representatives? That type of a thing. How do all of you feel about that?
Start with you guys over there.
They both have their mouths full.
How about Karen?
Well,
you have any comments?
I don't think it should be just us, the council. I think we ought to have outside input from people to tell us what they would like to see too.
Like,
we're not the only ones that live here.
Any specific people? Anybody in particular? Any specific organizations, people, or
even, yeah.
You want a name?
Well, no. Don. Well, next time around. Don, what do you think about that one?
I'd like to see some of the veterans organizations involved in helping to plan these. A representative from someone.
Veteran org.
Go ahead, buddy.
I think there should be other people involved. I guess that I wasn't prepared to answer who, but I think of like even Urban Renewal and the people that are involved in the business sector of Lapine, you know, that have businesses in town that are trying to attract people, you know, that they would be a good representation of what they would like to see, what they feel that their customers would like to see, you know.
Stu?
Yeah, definitely not just the council. We definitely need public input, but not anything, you know, if you're talking committee size, is that what you're talking?
That maybe even the size is not, specific organizations is great, but maybe even the size, you know, do you want 5 more people to make it 10 total, the council plus 5 or the council plus 3, or that might help me. And then
I didn't mean to invite the whole group. I thought 1 or 2 that was a representative of the veterans associations. I mean, that not
Terry, what do you
well,
think
that makes sense.
Yeah,
being a part of clubs and stuff and having to come up with signs, I know it's hard the more people you have to agree on one thing. And so what we've done in the past is, as you guys are the representatives of Lapine, create 4 or 5 ideas and then present them to those people so that they're not so concerned with having their own idea put on Lapine, but having some shown and then see like almost like a vote, not a vote.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That's just how we do it. There's so many people that are involved.
Yeah, they're going to do that. The only thing I don't want to make it too complicated.
Okay.
Because time's money. We don't want them to have to come down here yeah. 5 times instead of 2, you know, so.
Yeah, and I think, Don, you know, you have your different organizations. The prominent ones in Lapine are your veterans, your seniors, your youth, and
business.
Business. And that's it.
What was the branding initiative? How'd that roll out? Was there a committee?
That was a committee. That was a whole separate.
Because that had like 10 or 12.
Was it?
Yeah, I want to say, you're right, I don't know if it was 10 or 12. And then I think it was, were there two? I think there were two council members that were involved in that.
I was, yeah.
I think you and then maybe the former mayor.
Ken was
on there. So if it makes sense, and if everyone's okay with this, sounds like what I heard is keep it simple, not too large of a group, and maybe try to hit the major groups that are here in Lapine, a representative from each major group. So maybe task, I can go and try to solicit someone from these groups and come up with maybe five people,
five max,
match the council, and then to keep that process. Does that sound okay?
That works for me.
Okay. Is everyone okay with that? Okay.
So we'll have a committee of 10.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
At the most.
So similar to the Brandon.
Might be four. Yeah. Four plus one.
That sounds great.
Okay. I'll get to work on that. I'll know more after the meeting tomorrow based on their schedule and based on the timeline that I think works with, you know, just even with our summer of what we have. I know that's coming up in June and July and August, but to figure out a way to still keep this moving. Because we're,
I'll make sure it's
still. I'll keep it moving. So, I was wondering
why you were the point person and not Stu. Just kidding.
I'll
be keeping an eye on it.
And if one of you wanted to be there tomorrow, you could. That's why, partly why I mentioned it is if one or two of you wanted to be there tomorrow. You're happy to do that. No decisions are going to be made. They're just going to be walking the site. We're going to be talking through their proposal more and trying to hammer out probably the first date.
What time?
3:30.
I'll be there.
Okay.
Good. It'd be nice to have one council member there.
Absolutely.
And these meetings will be during the day. They won't be following council meetings or during council meetings.
Well, that's where it gets tricky, because if you have a quorum, you have to a degree, and you're making a decision, you have a council meeting. So the other alternative would be to take two council members and a group of outside citizens, and then you don't have to follow any of the public meeting laws. You don't have to make agendas, you don't have to take minutes, you don't have to do any of that. So now I think the way it's set up right now, and I want to get your input to then talk with the consultant tomorrow to then get a clear path and move forward. So if you all are comfortable with a different approach, then let me know. The council ultimately will have the final say. It's the way I envision it. But
well, as long as we have it like at a work session, so it's lighthearted, you know, not at a regular council.
Correct. My thought would be to run it where if it was the entire council and the other folks participating, we would have it in an environment like this. We'd maybe do it even on a special day where it was just, that's the only agenda item,
right?
Where it's an hour-long meeting with the consultants just talking about that. At, you know, we can figure the time out later, but it would be, say, on a Tuesday or a Thursday. Or
okay, that makes like the that. Most sense to me.
Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I think I've got marching orders on that one. Thanks.
Okay, moving on to updates on code enforcement.
And this is sort of a high-level update. I mean, partly one, I want to say it's on our radar, it's on staff's radar, that it's an issue. And we have gotten some calls regarding code enforcement. The one most recently was on a whole bunch of debris, lodgepole pines that had been cut and left on a property up at the north end of Huntington, the north end of town. And I actually knew, because they came to the city for a partition application to split that lot, those lots up, I actually knew who the property owners were and was able to call them and speak with them, and they've since remedied that. But I think the point I'm making is that code enforcement's not going anywhere. We recognize that. And I had a meeting last week with Garrett Krosteck, I think is how you say his last name. He's the land use attorney through Bryant, Loveland, and Jarvis, our attorney firm. And we talked about the way our ordinance is written and the process we have to step through to send a letter, to issue a citation, to get to the point of what's called abatement. We're actually going and cleaning up someone's property and then paying for it. And so, by way of example, if someone has a code enforcement issue, we're going to send a letter. And what we're going to try to do then next, and he sent me a draft already, is try to get them to enter into what's called a voluntary compliance agreement. It's an agreement that says that, and you can spell this out in there, within a month or within 2 months, the code enforcement issue will be taken care of later in the agreement. If not, if it's not done by this date, a fine of, I think it's up to $500 in the ordinance, so whether it's $200 or $500, a fine of this will be levied. So it's putting it, it's making it very clear that if it's not accomplished, a fine will be levied. And I think that on, remember, we've got the spectrum of code enforcement. So at one end, you've got, you know, the grass that's a little overgrown to someone's perspective. It's a small issue. That's what I'm trying to make. It could be any flavor of small issues. On the other end, we've got some properties like we're all aware of exist within the city. And the city went after one of those properties a couple years ago. And so the ones in the middle and to the smaller end, I think the voluntary compliance agreement, I think even a letter, what we've noticed is that even sending a letter, most people, they'll say, okay, you know, we just haven't got around to it, or, you know, some kind of issues come up. Give us some time, and that's what we want to do. But we also want to be able to say, okay, if they say that, but then they don't follow through with their word, there is going to be a penalty. There is going to be a fine. So I think that voluntary compliance agreement is really important. So we're going to move forward on that, and Jake and I decided he's going to take the east side of town, split the highway, right? He's going to take the east side of town, I'm going to take the west side of town, and we're going to continue to work on code enforcement and getting letters out. We have an intergovernmental agreement with Deschutes County, mostly, I would say, to deal with trailers, people living in trailers, and waste on the ground. So we're going to kind of reserve those cases, which can be long and drawn out. There's a number of trailers on a property on railroad that have been there for probably 3 months or more, and they're still there. But I've been in touch with his name, Chris Taboni, who's a Deschutes County Code Enforcement Officer, on him going through that process. And this is a process. It's a lengthy legal process to a degree. So we're going to keep working with Deschutes County. We're going to put in place the voluntary compliance agreement. And then the wild card, I think, moving forward, and Garrett, the land use attorney, agreed, is that if you want to get to a point where there's a property so bad, and a lot of times those properties, let's be frank, are folks who don't have the financial means to clean them up. They might be in, they might be behind on their mortgage. They might be tax foreclosure. So finding them doesn't do any good. And then the most action that the city could take would be to actually go on the property, pay to have it cleaned up, and then lien the property for the cost of that cleanup. That works in theory for the city to recoup some of the funds if it's not in tax foreclosure, or to a degree if it's not in foreclosure at all, just based on the bank and the mortgage, because sometimes the liens don't get paid in that respect. So I think the point from Garrett and the point I'm trying to make is that moving forward, if, I should say when, we address some of those large code enforcement issues, the city needs to be prepared to spend the money. Don't assume you're going to get that money back. Be prepared to spend the money. So I think we need to just, I mean, and that would be on a case-by-case basis to a degree as well, because when if you're talking $10,000, that's a significant sum of money.
What was it to clean up that? Didn't we help cleaning up that one?
So again, by way of example, that property on Railroad that we tested the ordinance, we went to circuit court, Garrett was there, I was there, Rick was there, and we got the ability to do that, but we knew that because it was in tax foreclosure, or tax foreclosure was on the horizon, it was heading towards tax foreclosure, that if we paid and leaned it, that we wouldn't get any of that money back, and that once tax foreclosure occurs, the county owns it, and then they clean it up to a degree, and then they sell it, and then they get money back. So we did not end up cleaning that property and then leaning it.
We did furnish them some dumpsters.
That's correct. Right.
Because they made sort of a promise they'd clean it up.
It
was a joke.
It helped a little.
Yeah, just a very little bit. And even the county says it's worse than they thought, because there's two asbestos trailers there that they had to dismantle. And so they were trying to sell it on is, and I, as is the 18th or 19th, and I doubt very much about it, because the starting bid was $34,000. So basically we spent the money on that, and it was a learning process.
It was a learning process. And to a degree, the way our, not to get too technical in it, because I didn't include the nuisance code, so I don't want to talk about it without referencing specific sections, but the way it was written and put in place, there is a little higher threshold for actually doing the abatement step, which is the us going on someone's property and cleaning it up. We have to go get a warrant to do that, because it actually could potentially violate U.S. Constitution Fourth Amendment. So unwarranted search and seizure. And so that is built into our ordinance, which I think is the safe, and Garrett agreed, is the safer process to go through. It's a little more cumbersome, costs a little bit more. But if you get to that step with a property, it's a very serious, it's a serious issue. He said other cities, they don't do that. And so they've been just kind of risking it, I guess, to a degree, that if someone filed a lawsuit against them, they could be liable. So anyways.
Let's have comment on this. Stu, you start going there.
Well, we know the troubled areas. We know it's like the habitual ones. Every time you go in, you clean it up, and we're back to the same problem. As far as your letters of notice go, you might have you checked with the fire district, because they do the same thing with their grass and their brush and everything. They have a step procedure, and it escalates up. Oregon Department of Forestry has the same thing. So you might check with them, but you need, how do I say it? You need to just, having dealt with this stuff for 20 years, it gets to a point where you just need to drop the hammer. I mean, the city can sit there and say, we've sent you letters. How much time does it take staff to put the letters together? You know, to go back, make return trips constantly over and over again. That eventually you just have to, and that's the problem. That's where, because your legal process takes so long that if you start the legal process sooner, you might end the game sooner. I mean, you're because our population is going to do nothing but grow. And I think your problem areas are going to remain the problem areas until the city does something.
I'd say that the properties that are the biggest issue, they didn't just show up overnight. They accumulated over 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe more years.
And that tells you there's a problem.
Yeah, and so what we've tried to do at the very least is, stop the bleeding, get the ones that are the new one, stop someone from setting up shop, and then over the years it starts to get worse. Probably, I think, and I agree with you too, is that what we're probably going to have to do moving forward is prioritize maybe one of those larger troubled properties a year, because we just can't have that many irons in the fire. But if we pick one a year and prioritize it, maybe even budget for it to a degree, or budget for that process, then we can take steps to get that done.
Well, and you can't have you acting as a code enforcement officer, because by the time it comes around to you, it's already, festered. You need someone out there 5 day a week on the road. Not, I'm sorry, but not 5 hours in your office and go out and try to do something. You need a code enforcement officer.
Connie, let's hear your...
Well, I agree. I think that we have to be prepared to spend the money to clean up the properties if we're going to threaten it, because otherwise it's just all bark and no bite, and we never follow through with it, and eventually they know that we never follow through with it, and they just continue to do it because we haven't backed up what we said we're going to do. And so I think picking a property a year, if that's what works with the budget. And as well as going around and dealing with the small ones and doing the letters and, you know, all that stuff on top of it, you know, but one big one, you know, just...
Yeah, it's easy to send letters when then if someone says, oh, sure, we'll move that, or we weren't aware that was an issue, or we'll clean it up, that's easy. I mean, that's not a problem. It's the scenario where someone digs their heels in and they say, over my dead body,
bring it on, yeah.
And that's where it turns into... It's not only the it's legal fees. Mm-hmm. It's potentially counsel time. It's ultimately, if it was an abatement, it's paying for the cleanup and going through that process and lots of public noticing and things like that to a degree. So I think we probably need to identify a test case and maybe set it in motion and see what.
Well, everyone's going to be different, case, right? Unfortunately.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Karen, what are you thinking?
I'm sitting here wondering exactly what messes we're talking about. Are we only talking about railroad? Or are we talking about other areas where they have an abundance of old cars, old equipment that you can see from the street?
We're talking about the whole city.
It could be that. Junk vehicles, count, tires, trash.
Up there, Huntington, the whole city.
It could be the industrial park.
Everybody has their own idea of what a mess is and what decorations are. And, well, I'm sorry, they do. I find us worried about certain areas, and then I see other areas that really need us to look at and stop saying that that's grandfathered in. A mess is a mess, no matter where it comes from or how long it's been there. Maybe we need to talk about fences on certain areas. Maybe we need to... I have a couple of houses on my block that I go, oh my gosh, and they just decorated it. What can I say? But that's what they call it. Isn't that pretty? We decorated that. Well, it isn't my cup of tea, but it must be theirs because it's decorated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Collectibles.
Hey, Don, let's hear your opinion on this one.
Well, first of all, I think that voluntary compliance thing with the ultimate fine, if it's not done within a certain length of time, that should take care of a lot of the smaller ones, I think. I think that's a good way to go. On some of the bigger ones, I'm wondering, like one of the places that you're talking about, Karen, I'm wondering if we couldn't contact the Environmental Protection Agency with the idea that perhaps there's oil spills and things like that under derelict cars that's sitting there. And equipment. I'm wondering if that could help as far as our code cleanup and take it away from us and put it on the government instead of us doing it. But we could, you know, make the initial. I'm not sure if that would work for you or not. But I think that when it comes to the other big items that we can control, I think you're right. If we try to do one a year and really do it right and make everybody know that once we get set, it's going to happen, and we're going to get tough on it, I think it'll make a difference.
Okay, my opinion on the whole thing is we've got to make, you know, the citizens realize that we're serious about this. Exactly. And right now, they don't feel that way. And we need to nip these things in the bud, not 6 months after it started. And I agree with Stu. I think we need a code enforcement officer. And, you know, so that's all they keep track of. It doesn't necessarily need to be full-time, I don't think. I know we've already gone through the budget, but, I mean, if one person is concentrating on it, it's going to get done. You know, I'm sorry, Corey, you got a lot to do. And I think it's totally unfair to think that you should be handling code enforcement. I mean, we got a lot of things happening. Look at what Tammy was saying, the planning. I mean, there's more stuff coming in all the time. You know, appreciate you wanting to do it and everything, of course, but I really think it...
Willing
to do it. Yeah.
Not necessarily worrying, but willing to.
But I think we really need, I mean, we're getting to the point where we're a city that needs maybe a part-time code enforcement officer.
Well, there's no question about it. Corey's time is more valuable here in the office than it is out running around looking at a property in the city.
And even Jake's going to have, he's got more going on all the time now. I mean, we're going to start this sewer thing. They're going to start doing the, you know, the planning out there. And
he's going to get a new pickup. Oh, that'll help.
Well, no, he's going to have to be taking part in that planning.
A new pickup is going to help because it's going to...
Well, yeah. So anyways, I think we really seriously have to think about getting a part-time.
Well, we talked about that in the budget of actually bringing somebody full-time, but part-time they would be doing code enforcement.
And that's what I think would make the most sense is, I hear you loud and clear, and I do agree. I'd say getting a full-time community development director or a full-time planner, Tammy's great, but we're at the point where we're paying her as much as what a full-time person would cost. And so getting someone here who's 40 hours a week, who does planning, and in the busy months, they'll spend the majority of their time on that, but then they'll have downtime. Whether it's, and I think the point I'm trying to make is code enforcement would be the next thing on that rung of the ladder, would be code enforcement. Now, if they got here in the winter, and we kind of saw how that played out into spring, and it still made sense to then in next following year's budget propose and budget for, at least budget for it, because then you don't have to hire necessarily, budget for, say, a half-time person, or make it a contract so that it only, I mean, do we want to pay a half-time code enforcement officer during the 5 months that we have 3 feet of snow on the ground? I don't know, probably not. So it would probably be on a contract basis, a seasonal temporary employment maybe, so we'd have to draw up the job description and get all that prepared. But if the full-time planner or community development person thought that made the sense and that they couldn't serve that role to a degree, then I think let's go for it. I agree.
Well, that sounds good, but right now we have to get serious about this. I mean, we got to let the public know we're serious about this, not just sending a letter out.
Well, it has to start with that every single time.
We'll start with that. But there's some properties that are, we sent letters out, and then it's just, I'm sorry, it's just sort of kind of forgotten about.
Well,
you know.
And what we used to do is cite them under the ORS for offensive littering. Even though it's on their property, there's that. And then the other one was the nuisance dumping. There's ORS numbers for all of those.
Probably science.
And that's what we use at the Department of Forestry to enforce those laws.
Okay.
When people would dump out in the woods.
It just,
and you cite them, and they go straight to court.
Yeah. Well, and likely what will happen, too, with again, we're talking about the spectrum of how bad the case is, but if they're the bad ones, likely what will happen is you'll find them, and they won't pay it, and it'll just get sent to collections, or it'll go as a lien onto their property. Then you move to the next step, which is the, I think what I'm hearing is we need to be prepared to go in and clean up properties.
If you cite them under state ORS, it's not going to collections, there's a warrant put out for them. Because they're in violation of a state law.
Uh-huh.
It's just like a parking ticket. You don't pay it, you don't go to collections, they issue a warrant for your arrest.
The thing of it is, we'd only have to do that twice and people would get the hammer.
Exactly.
You know,
do we get the money for that, though?
Yeah.
At the state, it went into the general fund. So I don't know.
What do you think, Trey? Give us your opinion on that.
Very organized, and I think if I was going to take charge, it would be start with a letter of code breaking, because I live to some pretty messy neighbors, and I just don't think they know which codes they're breaking. So is there a letter that we can almost draft up that would say, these are minor codes.
That's exactly what we do. We say you're, we take pictures and then we cite which sections of the code.
Ordinance or
they're in section. Okay. Section one of this ordinance, you're in violation of this. We highlight
that's
the section.
That's the process. It's got, that, got a picture of the violation.
And the paragraph starts, you know, the city's aware that many residents are not aware of some of the codes or that they're in violation of some of the codes. So you're spot on. We send that. And then, you know, honestly, quite a few folks do say, okay, you know, we're going to move the trailer, we're going to stop living in it, or we're going to clean up.
7 out of 10 usually will do something about it.
Yeah, it's not a bad percentage on those, the less offensive ones. I think really the point that I'm hearing with the longer term ones, which probably will take 3, 6, 12 months to bring to conclusion from start to finish, is that we just need to get serious about that, be prepared to pay for it, and do it.
Well, and hopefully, I mean, by saying one a year, one that ends up costing us money, if we go through it and get 3/4 away and don't have to actually do the abatement and spend the money, then start on the second one, you know, and,
totally.
And you know, within the budget, what we can, what we know we can afford to do.
Yeah, and if you guys think you can take care of it this summer, we'll deal with when we hire a planner and,
well,
and that, you know?
We'll get to the latest curveball that we got yesterday in terms of having to hire a new person in the next 3 weeks or month to do our most basic need that the city provides, water and sewer. So I just don't know if it's within the realm of possibility to try to hire someone, train them, manage them, and have them be effective in the next 4 months. I think it will fall to us to pony up and do that, get the full-time person on board in the winter, and then really we're talking about more staff capacity next spring and summer. That doesn't mean we can't identify one property to kind of set in motion and see what happens this summer.
Well, I'm just taking care of the minor stuff too.
Of course, staying on that, definitely. That we can't let that fall between the cracks.
But if we let these things go, then a minor always turns into a major.
Sure.
You know, exactly. That's the scary part.
If we can keep a handle on the minor ones until we get somebody that can do it. I clicked it a few times.
I think we've finished that.
I'm trying not to.
I think we all agree that these are big issues, right?
Yeah.
And that we are becoming a city now, and this is us trying to move forward, trying to develop a game plan, how it's going to look.
Yeah. And I think it's a good game plan. So. Yeah. Okay, the other thing I want to bring up on, I thought it was going to be on the agenda, is noise.
Nuisance?
You were going to look into that?
I'm thinking maybe next month's work session. We could talk about that. I don't believe there's any reference in our city ordinance for noise.
As far as noise?
Right now, no.
Because it's been brought up a few times. So we really have to think about that.
Sure.
And that's sort of a loaded one too, is we're going to have to check to see what other cities are doing. And
you know, there's another thing that we need to think about too, is rules if Uber or one of these self-driving taxi companies comes into town, because you know they're working in Bend, and sooner or later there's going to be people wanting to ride them down to La Pine, and we need to have some sort of a regulatory set up here so that we know that they have the ability to work and out of La Pine, or they don't, one of the two.
I think they're already here.
In terms of regulating it, you're spot on, Don, and you told me that I think a few weeks ago, and so I have a draft ordinance. It's the same ordinance that Sisters passed just like a couple weeks ago. I have it in my inbox, and there's a variety of, in terms of the legal nuance, there's a variety of issues that Jeremy, our legal counsel, wants to make very clear to the council. So we were discussing having it on this agenda, and we didn't want to rush it, and so the plan is in the end of June, the work session, for Jeremy to be involved in, for us to talk about that for the city of Lapine.
Deschutes County does have a noise ordinance.
I was just going to reference that because I've seen it cited a few times for people inside the city limits. I've sat through some of the court hearings over here where they're just taking in people and kind of addressing them. And there were several that were inside the city limits that they were fining for that, for noise complaints.
To look into that a little more.
Yeah.
Under Deschutes County Code.
Because there's a couple of people that told me that the deputy shows up and says the city doesn't have an ordinance, says they can't do anything about it.
So these were more dog related ones when I remember, but they didn't, they just said no, it was a noise complaint. It didn't say because of the dog, but
well, we'll have to check it.
Sure.
Okay. We can try and get between.
Okay, let's move on. Anything more on code enforcement?
No, I think that summarized where we're at, where we're trying to go, and okay, hopefully how we're going to get there.
Okay, employee handbook, Corey?
This is real brief. Just, again, trying to put it on the radar in terms of the last time the employee handbook was updated was March 2014. It's probably good to do that every few years, so we're due. And Jeremy has expressed that to me in the past few months, which I heard. I'd say probably at this point, maybe the end of the summer, and I might tap the mayor and maybe one council member to work a little bit on kind of framing some of the input, then bringing it to council work session, and then ultimately adoption. I think it also makes sense to kind of have that conversation, if possible, coupled with the salary survey and the salary schedule that we're waiting to get back from the consultants, local government personnel institute that's working on that. Sent them an email, checked in last week. They said, let me get back to you. They haven't yet. I think it's probably going to be a late June type of a thing. So stay tuned on that, but I just wanted to mention that, you know, we're continuing to try to do some. This HR stuff is important. I mean, we're the HR department, and so a lot of it was neglected in the past. I'll give you an example. We, you know, in the employee handbook, it said that with every employee exiting, we should have an exit interview. Well, we never had an exit interview template, and we need to do that process. And so there's other pieces of the employee handbook that I think should be looked at and changed, some of which are a hassle, and staff will have some recommendations, not recommendations necessarily on benefits, those types of things, just tracking and operationally managing it all. So we're working on that for some recommendations. It'll come back. I just wanted to put it on your radar, but that's something we're working on and thinking about. So that's about it.
Okay. Any comments on that from anybody? Anybody? Nothing? Good. Let's move on. TGM grant.
So I just want to give you finally, so we've been talking about this for, I felt a little bit like a fool over the last year and a half almost, because I kept saying, oh, be prepared, the TGM grant's going to start in a few months. A few months would go by. Oh, be prepared, the TGM grant's going to start in a few months. Okay, the TGM grant has actually started. We had the consultants, they drove over from Portland. They were selected through a competitive process that the Department of Land Conservation and Development and ODOT, who were the awarders of the grant to the city. No money is flowing to the city and through the city. They pay for it all. It's about $40,000 in technical assistance, so it's a great asset for the city, which is nice too. We don't have to track the dollars. So the consultants were here last week. Tammy was here meeting with them, and then from the gal from the DLCD was here as well. And we had we've got a whole schedule laid out of all the process, and we had the first meeting, the project management team meeting, an on-site visit. We were walking all the way up and down Huntington and talking about the different issues that Tammy's identified with the code, that I've experienced and identified with the code. One of the first things they said when we sat down was, wait, so does the city of Lapine have a code? One document that reads all these things? We said, no. We said, we have these amendments, and they went, yikes, that must be a mess. And we go, yeah, we know. we're trying to get that figured out. So we're going to be scheduling, Holly and I are working to schedule stakeholder interviews next month, June 21st and 22nd, with members of the community. They want to interview them and get some input on their thoughts about the community. And then the consultants are going to be working with the Planning Commission in June and in July. And then, so it won't be until late summer where we actually have a joint City Council and Planning Commission work session. And then after that, heading into the fall, is when we'll actually have a couple council meetings to hear some of their recommendations, and council can potentially adopt some of their changes. So it's going to play out over several months, more than several months, 3 to 6 months. But it's kicked off, and it's one of those irons in the fire that we've got going that will really pay dividends a decade down the road, type of a thing. But for us to get there, we need to make those changes. And so the nice thing about the TGM grant is that it goes through the public outreach process. It steps through what other cities have done. They just finished one in Mount Angel. If any of you are familiar with Mount Angel, it's smaller community in the valley.
Oktoberfest. That's what I was going.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is what they do, and so I think we're really fortunate to have it kicked off. So just stay tuned. Know that they're working. We're with them, working with the community. Going to be working with Planning Commission. Going to be working with Planning Commission and Council, and then it'll all come and culminate with Council.
Good.
Late fall. So.
Just another thing.
Just
we're
a heads up. It's moving. It's taking staff time in a good way.
Okay. Any comments on that one, Council?
No, that's great.
Moving
it's great
ahead.
That it's moving.
Yep. Shaking and moving here. Okay. Website.
Pretty quick on this one. You know, we switched to the new website in the fall, and that was good. I think it integrated the new branding, and it looks really sharp. I think it is more user friendly. With Holly on board now, her and I are working on going through all the pages and looking at updates and making sure that things are posted accordingly, and all the attachments are where they need to be, that type of a thing. In terms of a few changes, we had some ideas. One was right now, you know, to go to the website, you have to type in www.ci.la-pine.or.us. That's the same as our email addresses. It's, you know, cmisely at that, or any of yours, or now Planning Commission and all that. So I think what we'd like to do was our recommendation. We wanted to get all of your input. Was lapineoregon.gov available?
I think
that one was. Any thoughts on that? Is that better or worse?
Simple.
Simpler?
When I was at the city of Bend, we were city of, or joberson.ci.bend.or.us. Then we went to bendoregon.gov.
Yeah.
So it's pretty similar.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep it simple.
I can remember that.
I think it's easier.
Yeah, and the updating, it definitely needs to be updated constantly. Because it was getting old there.
You wouldn't think it's that big a deal, but like if I tell someone over the phone my email address, most of the time they get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dots and dashes get mm-hmm. transposed. And
were we having issues with it not being able to put the council meetings up?
We were having issues, mostly just making sure that all the attachments are where they need to be. And part of that has to do with the agendas and the way we do the agenda packets. And the ordinance attachments, the exhibits, and such. So we figured that out. Yeah.
Okay. Someone told me they couldn't get to the recording of the meeting last meeting.
We'll look into that. We will get it humming. It's been partly with Holly coming on board and working with AHA Consulting, who's mm-hmm. the folks we contract with for a website domain for our website. So getting all that up to speed. But yeah, we're open for suggestions. I would say in terms of the constant management, the other question, is everyone good with that domain name? Does that work?
Yeah.
Any concerns with lapineoregon.gov? I think it's pretty, okay, pretty standard. Okay, good. We're going to try to get that going. The updating portion of it, we will continue, obviously, to do the website. That's our home base. But Holly suggested, and it was something that crossed my mind too, is that she would be happy to revive the city's Facebook page and use that as an avenue to mostly just post meeting dates and times, potentially to share a project that's happening, something like that, just another avenue to get the word out. Certainly not a place to start any public dialogue. I mean, we would
engaging.
Not be engaging in any, no, none of that. But most, not. Well, I probably could say most cities do have social media platforms that they use to communicate with the public and to share information.
Mm-hmm.
So, wanted to get everybody's thoughts on that.
Excited for cleanup week, woohoo, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yeah, the flyer, the information, or anything like that.
I like comments. That idea. I wouldn't park Facebook, but I like the idea.
Mayor could.
No.
No, that's where social media is where yep. most people get their information now.
Oh, yeah.
News, everything. So
mm-hmm.
it only makes sense that we keep, part of what I campaigned on was getting the public more informed. Mm-hmm. And it's just another way to keep them informed of what's going on in the city.
Mm-hmm.
If it's kept up to date.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Holly, since you volunteered,
mm-hmm. Don, Karen?
She's excited about it.
Good idea.
Yeah. And there is audio, by the way, Connie, at the last
Oh, is there? Okay, thank you.
Because my mayor one, I get all kinds of comments that they're glad it's on there.
You can shut off commenting, though, for the city one, so that it's just more of an informational page.
We're going to, stalk's the wrong verb, but we're going to monitor maybe how some other cities have done it and ask around. and we're going to not reinvent the wheel, but we'll keep it very professional, very to the point, very just promoting and, you know, help planning commission meetings, council meetings, urban renewal, public works.
Yeah. Dust abatement coming up Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
Heads up, mosquito spraying. I mean, really there is, and I think part of it is showing the community what we're doing.
Absolutely.
And it can be little things. So.
Yeah.
And, and it's already set up. It's just never been used.
No parking on the road.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I think that's a great, great idea. So.
No trash on your property.
Yep. Anybody else comment on that, or Holly's going to go for it?
I don't even get the mayor's Facebook page.
Why?
You didn't go like it?
Yes, I did, but it doesn't come to me.
Oh.
A high school.
They don't like me.
Mm-hmm. So the other alternative would have been...
I don't know what he's talking about.
We switched to the billing, the envelope billing, right, where we contract that out. So, I mean, the other alternative would be putting together a newsletter, but I actually think that it's a wiser use of staff time to just do short, you know, 2-3 sentence and a picture or whatever updates on Facebook instead of worrying about formatting of a newsletter, typing up a couple paragraphs on a story. And I think it's just much more effective, too, that you'd be able to reach the audience.
Absolutely.
So that was our thought process on it. So no newsletter, but try to go the social media angle.
Right. Just keep the website up to date, keep the Facebook up to date, and forget about the newsletter.
So we're going to work on that, because there actually was one, so we're going to kind of see how we need to get all that set up and ready to go, and then we'll let you know when it's launching and all that. So stay tuned.
Okay. Moving on, cemetery rate resolution. Didn't hear about this one. What's this all about?
We've been looking at the cemetery more and more, and we felt like this year we could start making some steps in the right direction on kind of streamlining things, making things work better out there, actually devoting some actual work to the cemetery and getting some functionality going up there. One of the first things we looked at was the plot prices. $75 is the current plot price, and That's a pretty good price for a chunk of land in Central Oregon right now, as compared to all the other cemeteries too. Not that our cemeteries are very comparable to like the city of Bend, where their plot prices are more like $900, but we still need to reflect some prices that can help some of these improvements and generate a little bit of revenue to move forward. So we're looking at different plot prices right now, around that $200 to $250 mark. We're thinking can be the new plot prices. Of course, there's going to be, if you buy two of them for, you know, a husband and wife couple, it's going to be a little bit cheaper, those kind of scenarios. So those are some of the things we're looking at right now to help facilitate these improvements for the cemetery. And our budget reflects a bigger budget for the next year too. So some of these things are definitely in the making right now. So just wanted you guys to be aware of that and express any concerns or anything with that approach.
Buy your plot now.
I know, that's what I'm thinking.
What do you say?
Buy your plots now.
Yeah. Oh, buy a plot now. Yeah.
Hey, that's a good slogan. Wow. Okay. Okay, there's got to be some comments on this one.
We just Stuart, did.
You think it's needed? No, as far as price, raising the price.
Oh, I think it's needed. It's been needed.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's changed out there. Yeah. And again, as the city grows, we need to take care of it. And
that side of the table?
I agree that something has to be done. I think any improvement that we make out there is well worth it, because it will just improve the city itself.
Yeah.
Improves the what am I trying to say? What is looked at by other people in the city.
Yeah. Agree, Karen?
In the future, doesn't mean today or tomorrow, I'd like us to see if we could get a wall, so that instead of burying the people that you've had cremated or trying to figure out where to spread them, if we had a wall that your box slipped in, it would be better than hearing people say, oh, well, I have 8 relatives up there on top of Paulina, or you should take them and dump them in that little river there, or just a question. They're burying them all over is what I'm basically saying.
It's kind of like a spreading them all over.
An urn placement area?
It's just a wall, like my stepmom has one, and it's basically just like a vault. It's just a wall with vaults, and then each vault has a plaque on the front of it. In some cemeteries, they do like a specific wall that's for military personnel, and then another, you know, generic one or something.
In outdoors, you see it in outdoor cemeteries.
Yeah. Okay. They're just it's just a wall, that. Basically. Sure. That's just a wall of vaults. Spokane. I know Spokane Valley has some in their cemetery. And stuff.
Trey, I don't mean to cut you off. You could speak up anytime.
I have not thought of a cemetery. Yeah.
He's not ready.
That's
to
probably
die.
A good thing. Yeah. Okay. And speak up anytime because if I don't
come run with me for a week.
Yeah. Well, I really think we gotta
at Bend Memorial Gardens.
Memorial Gardens.
Yeah.
Wall.
Well, but it all takes money, so we definitely have to raise the rate.
But
we gotta come with a budget, and you know, we've really gotta.
One thing I budgeted for this coming year is GIS system mapping for water and sewer. What I've thought about integrating into that is a layer that shows the cemetery, and you can click on different parcels and it'll tell you who owns those parcels and what parcels are available. So that's something I'm looking to possibly integrate this summer too up there.
You check with Vern? No, he's not there anymore.
He's not.
They had that.
Right. But we would update that, and then it could show you like new areas that we're looking to expand into.
That's the next question. There was property set aside.
And I plan to survey that and make sure we can get that laid out the way we want.
Yeah. I think it's 40 acres, if I remember correctly. I mean, it's very large. And there's a lot of work to be done out there, and it's a, you know, Jake's priorities are right in terms of being water, sewer, streets, snow plowing. Right. That sent me on, so it just happens. It falls.
These guys is problem by
So yeah, but I mean mapping—that's another issue. We've got hard copy maps, and we have a copy, and Baird Memorial has a copy, and maybe they don't line up. We need to invest some time and energy out there. Getting back to the revenues, we need also that to support some of those changes. Mm-hmm. If only it were that easy. That's what I'm. That's been my motto this spring is, you know, you turn over a rock and you expect to see one thing, and there's 4 other things. And so, you know, what would generally happen is we would adopt a rate resolution that says, okay, we're upping the cemetery plot price effective this day. You know, it's going to this route, this amount, that type of a thing. Well, I think some of you may know who liked to say the devil was in the details, but sometimes he, former city manager, didn't look at those details. I don't know why, but I found a memo from Jeremy to the city in 2012 saying, hey, this is when the city assumed the operations from the cemetery board. So the land had already been transferred from Deschutes County to the city, but the cemetery board was still running the operations. One of the last sentences in the memo is the city will need to consider essentially adopting formal management procedures for the cemetery. So, I mean, Jake sent an email to the legal counsel saying, well, we'd like to establish this rate resolution. We want to increase the fee. And he said, okay, that's no problem. Probably what we need to do is go back and look at those founding rules and regulations that say this is how you amend it. This is the process you go through. I don't think we have those. Yeah. So we might have to take... So we need to... We got some work to do.
Treat it like the urban renewal.
The bylaws.
Yes, you're starting from now.
Yes, correct. And I sent that email to Jeremy today. I attached that memo. I highlighted that. I also attached and sent him. Remember, we worked on the rule. What we thought were good rules and regulations. What's allowed there? Those types of things. That's good. I'm glad it was worthwhile to spend time on that. But that's not, I don't think, enough of a document, an ordinance.
It was never adopted as an ordinance.
Exactly. And that spells out those types of things. So we're trying to raise the rates, that's where we're heading, but we discovered that we probably have to take the scenic route to get there.
It seems so easy.
It'll be a process. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned on that. And
so
we'll
still have time to buy a plot.
No, we'll keep moving forward. There you go. That's, at the end of the day, you've still got a little more time to stock up on your plots. Don't buy too many, though, because then we need to go out and expand that. Or I should say, you can buy the plots. Don't fill them too
fast. He just wants to make sure that the rules say it can have a flag on it.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, you've got a good idea, Connie. We should go out and buy a dozen for $75, and when they raise the rates,
you can't sell
we
them.
Could do it for sell them for.
No brokering, Don. I know you're heading
well,
there.
That's just frustrating. It's just another thing we have to take care of in the city that wasn't done.
It just is.
Don't get frustrated over it, please.
As a heads up, there's going to be a handful of resolutions at the June 14th meeting that all of you would be adopting for the budget and certain rate resolutions. So our hope was to have this on that meeting. Clearly, we're not going to meet that. So just letting you know, it's on our radar. We're working on it. We're going to have to come loop around, and we'll see how fast we can get there. So.
Again, thank you, Tony. Thank you, Deschutes County.
Yeah, thanks, Past. We're cleaning things up.
Do we have water out there?
No.
City water.
Is there water?
Okay.
Really?
Okay, moving on from there. Public comments.
Yay!
Yay! Okay, go for it.
Okay, an update from the Park District, and particularly with Heritage Park. The district is very, very mindful of its purpose in trying to spruce up and beautify, consistent with the theme of the city, of course. And Heritage Park is very visible, and particularly since it forms one of the brighter spots, or at least eventually one of the brighter spots of the downtown corridor. So let me bring you up to date. I think you'll be very pleased. The first thing is that is happening. It's not planned. It's happening. Is the there'll be a huge, huge, tall flagpole, the American flag on top of it, that's lit at night, and it'll be with a flag that's been flown over the U.S. Capitol, and on each side of it will be the flagpoles with the various flags for the various services, military services also. It'll be a semicircle around the top of the emblematic clock that's right there right now. And all that is being coordinated by our very good friend Dan Richard, who's working with the various veterans groups to make that happen. As part of that, and just beyond that, on the barely to the north side of it, is going to be a public Veterans Memorial Garden. And that will be engraved bricks, and they're going on sale for like $20 a piece, basically a person's name and the branch service they're in. And a lot of the thought on that was simply that it would be more of a public memorial rather than each group's got their own, kind of in their own backyard where they got it, so it's going to be a more public thing there. So that will be in and dedicated on July 4th at the festivities at 12 noon, and it's going to be with full presence of the military. We're hoping to get congressional and state representatives there, and of course our local ROTC, and you know, it's going to be a nice big deal. We particularly, what's going to be outstanding is the fact that the flagpole, the center flagpole, will be lit at night. And that way it can still carry the flag. So it'll be a beautiful addition to that portion. Immediately to the north of that, you know, we've got some playground equipment, not much, and it frankly, it looks embarrassing. We were made an application and were recipient of a $10,000 grant for Mid-State Electric to begin that process of fixing it. We're also working with Dan Richard that he and his groups are going to be enclosing that playground so it's safe for children. Right now it's got wide open gaps onto Huntington Road, which is stupid. My opinion. Maybe well-intentioned, but it wasn't properly thought through whenever that went in. And also I've reminded Dan that because of the city's desire for widening the sidewalks, that will already incorporate into the setback that's necessary for the ultimate city to improve it. without having to move our fencing. And we're also going to put landscaping around that to make it look like a really nice inviting area. I can tell you that a proper playground, including some with ADA amenities, is a very expensive proposition, particularly with regard to, oh, even just the foundation. You know, you don't get sawdust anymore. You've got to have all this special stuff that cleans up nicely and quickly and easily, but it's sanitary, but it prevents injuries and like that. We're hoping that we can accomplish it for less than $50,000, but $10,000 was a pretty good start. So that's happening. You'll notice also that our fountain is working, and we're hoping that it can stay working. There was a lot of wonderful people in the community put a lot of money into that thing, and between design changes and everything else, so hopefully it'll be up. The bathroom is now open to the public during regular business hours, and that's been a bone of contention because we've been afraid. We've had experienced vandalism and things that the district had no money to take care of. And that was, regular business hours, at least right now it's Monday through Thursday, and for those who have to go, there's a porta potty that we're paying for. So at least there's something there. The next thing is the skate park. We have one member of our board that is working with the people that use it and getting their parents and, you know, more community involvement. And there's going to be a community support called a popsicle party. And that's going to be on June 24th from 3 to 5 p.m. Basically just to rally around support for it. We have come to the conclusion that if the people who use it feel like they own it, they'll take more pride in it. And that's what we want to do, is let them know the community cares about that little bit of a skate park that we have. So we want everybody to attend that. And then finally, you know, we've been making all those improvements at Findlay Butte. You know, we've got the grass in. We're hoping to get two new scoreboards that will function properly. And very, very, very soon, the new bleachers are coming for ball fields 2 and 3. And so that's going to make it a lot better. We're actually going to have our first little tournament there this summer. So things are looking up. So I just want to let you guys know that we're doing what we can to make the city more beautiful and friendly place, not only for our own citizens, but for people to come and visit.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it's showing. I mean, those ball fields are looking really nice out there.
Thank you. Yep.
But we need paint colors.
Yeah, we got to paint.
I thought you said painkillers. Painkillers. I was like, what?
Those are for the skate park.
Yeah, right.
If I was on
the
language.
Yeah, for the parents.
Yeah.
Any other public comments? Any? All set? Okay, staff comments?
On the heels of that, which all sounds great, I definitely agree, might make sense looking at a joint city council Park and Rec district meeting at some point, maybe end of summer, early fall, maybe. Mm-hmm. I know we had one, I think this time last year-ish, and I know there's new members on the council since then, and maybe some new members on the park district as well.
No, they all got reelected.
Okay, well.
Yeah. Because the opposition was stiff.
Gotcha, yeah.
If I could comment on that, definitely we have to have one, not just if we want one, we have to have one. Okay. Because we're in the next phase of finishing up the draft of the comprehensive plan update.
Okay, reach out to me, or Karen. Yeah.
We're kind of in the revision process right now, and then what will happen when the board is kind of like comfortable with it, then we've got to provide everybody copies here, and then have a session on that, because we have to include the city. We want to, but we also have to.
Yeah.
So yeah. that would be a good thing to handle.
No, I agree. I mean, I'd say that looking not just next year or the year after that, 5 years or more down the road, the only way we're all going to get to where we want to be is if the Park and Rec District is doing their part, and if the city's doing their part, mm-hmm. and we can hopefully leverage and be a greater, the parts will be greater as a sum, you know, together as a whole. So anyways, okay, reach out, let me know. We have a new SLED, Centerville Pine Economic Development Manager, Ryan Culp is his name. Stu's excited. Stu likes him. I liked him too. He's going to be starting June 12th. It's a Monday. He'll be in probably in Bend at EDCO that first Monday. But there's a likely going to be a SLED meeting the 13th, which is a Tuesday. So he'll have an opportunity to introduce himself and get acquainted with the SLED board members at that time. And then my thought was that he could introduce himself. We have a council meeting the 14th that day. So even if it's just at the beginning of the meeting, depending on how much he's been, how much of a whirlwind his first 3 days have been, have him at least here to, you can see him and meet him. He can share a little bit more about himself. He's moving from Mississippi.
I guess I get used to his accent.
It's a big move.
Southern drawl.
He's younger. He's got, I mean, he came across very, very well in the interviews. He impressed Stu, myself, Roger Lee, Phil Henderson, County Commissioner.
And Roger said if we didn't hire him, he was going to.
Exactly. So he, I mean, we had a great group of applicants, I would say, really strong. He's got experience in economic development. He loves Central Oregon, the outdoors. He likes the opportunities that are here. I think it's going to be great. So
Ski bachelor, he's
rock climb,
Smith Rock. He's been here, He knows the area.
He wants to be here, which I think is really, really important. So stay tuned. That's 3 weeks from now. He'll be on board. And I already scheduled a lunch with, emailed Dave Schneider yesterday because I want to get in this little interim when we don't have a SLED manager. I guess I'm kind of wearing that hat right now, but I want to get a better grasp on what's the industrial park in terms of electric and natural gas amenities. And so I scheduled a lunch with Dave Schneider on the 15th of June that Ryan doesn't know yet that he'll be at. And then we'll be going back to Mid-State after that and talking with Dave and their team to get a good lay of the land on that. So stay tuned. You'll meet him hopefully the 14th. Excited about that. A real quick heads up on, I know we were already just talking about rate resolutions. We're going to have one for land use fees. We're not proposing any significant changes to increasing site plans or conditional use costs or anything like that. But what we identified is, again, we had passed a rate resolution in 2014 and it hasn't been updated since. So we're going to clean up some of this language and make a couple minor adjustments. Tammy was referencing the zoning permit that's new. We're going to reflect that in here. No controversial changes or anything like that. The Builders Association or the Realtors or developers, anyone will not be upset about this. So you'll see that in June. Just a quick heads up. When you get your packet, let me know if you have questions. I'm meeting with the board chair of the Central Oregon Arts Alliance, or it's Deschutes, I don't know if it's Deschutes Arts Alliance or Central Oregon Arts Alliance, but I'm meeting with him next week, partly just to see if their organization or organizations that are members of that alliance want to help Lapine take steps forward in terms of public art. We were going to have a project with Arts Central. That organization is no more. I've stayed in touch with the funders through the state who did award the city. I mean, the city was going to get about a $7,000 grant from the state. We were going to contribute some funds. Art Central was going to manage it. That round of grant applications is due in October. So I've kind of put the feelers out because we're not going to administer the grant. I'd like to find a partner who does art and let them kind of guide us through the process. So I'm trying to put the feelers out for who could be a partner with a grant application in October. Not applying for a grant, I haven't spent any time on it, just seeing where this leads. You will know about it. I will have your blessing before any applications are submitted and what the city would be on the hook for in terms of time or money or anything like that. Just letting you know that I'm kind of keeping that in the back of my mind. Try to find it for it. So let me know individually if you want to talk about that or just stay tuned for updates as meetings occur.
Well, I know that there's nobody from down here on that commission, which there should be, so that's one thing you might want to talk to
I'll talk about. To him about that, yeah. Lapine representative. The final item I think I'll say is just that next Friday I'll be heading to Salem with Brandon Mahon. He's with Anderson Perry. He's one of the engineers that's been helping us get the money for the water and wastewater projects, the funding assistance. And we have to present in front of the Infrastructure Finance Authority Board Basically, it's because we're requesting loan forgiveness over, I think we're requesting them forgive $1 million of the $2 million loan we would get from them for the water project. And if it's over, I can't remember if it's over $500,000 or over $750,000, they require you to make a presentation in front of the board. So I think it's a day well worth spent if it could save the city an extra $250,000 or $500,000. That's significant. So I'll be heading there next Friday.
Didn't you say you had something about an employee? Or
I'll let Jake share. Oh. Sorry, good point. So I think that's all. I think that's all I've got.
Okay,
you're sure. Right. So we have cleanup week starting next week. City of Lapine cleanup week. Just wanted to throw that out there. Corey and I are doing a tour of the Prineville new wastewater treatment facility next month. To kind of, Anderson and Perry worked with them on that project, so we're going to go through, do a tour, get some ideas how that project went, maybe some of the pros and cons they faced, stuff of that nature.
Jake's going to have, we're going to have lunch with Eric Klein, is that his name? He's the public works manager in Prineville. Jake's going to connect with him, and then Steve Forrester, who I really like a lot, is the city manager in Prineville. And I usually only see him at these regional meetings every once in a while, and he's been saying, you know, come on over. So we're going to kind of double dip on a professional development trip to Prineville, is what I'd call it.
Yeah. Sorry,
I'm just throwing that in there.
No problem.
We're getting multiple birds with one trip to Prineville. We're in carpool.
That's what we try to get good at, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We did dust abatement this week up in Kegel. Did Kegel and Schedule Road. We've been kind of planning for that. Threw some money, pulled some money out of the road grading for up there just to see how it would do. We've been working with Deschutes County. Did some IGAs with them where we, you know, we're trading some work for that to happen. We're going to purchase the chemical that was put down, but we traded the work on. They graded the road and put water down for us, and we paid for the chemical to be applied. We're gonna see how that works out. It looks great. Getting a lot of compliments back already. Mm-hmm. Got an email this week from a customer up there. They were very appreciative. They called, sent me an email a couple months ago saying, you know, the dust is a problem up here. What's the city looking to do about it? We pay taxes. I sent them an email, hey, we're looking into dust abatement. But for the meantime, I'm gonna put my radar trailer up there and move it around to get some of that dust down. And then we did the dust abatement this week and got the email back, hey, Jake, really appreciate you following through with your word. It means a lot that you said you'd do those things and you did them. So that was a nice email we got this week.
Okay.
And on a lighter note, Little Wind knocked out of the sale this week. Mike Ward accepted a job with Deschutes County Road Department. He'll be starting next week, end of next week. So we'll be in the process of trying to hire a utility worker. So that just happened yesterday.
Tell them about the utility one, utility two thing.
We're going to open the position up for utility worker two or utility worker one. We're going to try to reach out to people with some certifications to help fill the void. And we don't want to exclude people with some good experience, but we don't want to exclude people that want to get their foot in the door that really want to work with the city. So we're going to kind of open it up for those entry levels or those people with some good experience with another municipality perhaps, or have worked in the field elsewhere. So hopefully we get some good applicants. We got some really good applicants for this admin assistant. Holly's here. Got some good applications for the SLED manager. And hopefully we get some good applications for this. So I'm looking forward to it. Not super excited, but I'm getting excited because I think it might be a good opportunity for the city to pick up somebody good. So hopefully that's the case.
We're going to probably try to expedite that process as much as possible. We're talking with legal on job announcement and getting that out maybe by the end of next week.
Well, I was trying to create that utility two position for the future, but possibly one of my staff to move into. So maybe we can achieve that with this. We'll see.
Good.
Any questions about that?
You got her.
Your deal.
I think that's it. Okay, Holly, anything?
No, sir.
Nothing?
No, sir.
Nothing up there? Okay, we're going to move on to council comments. Karen, we're starting with you tonight. Any comments? Have anything to say?
I drove on your road that you did that.
I didn't do it, but
well,
I helped facilitate it.
Did. And I didn't see any dust behind me,
right,
beside me, or in front of me. I was impressed because I drove down Pine Drive last night, and I had a like cloud of dust behind me, beside me, and in front of me. So I was impressed. And very informative meeting. I'm not totally happy with what happened with the 50 feet, because I don't see why everybody's not 50 feet or no feet. Right. I think it should all be the same. But that's just my thought. That's about it.
Okay. Hey, Trey, let's meet you. Speak your mind here.
So next week is going to be my last meeting. And then he'll be taking over. Because then right after that, I think, is I'll be graduated by that next Wednesday, maybe. Or that week, I won't be going to school, and I'll be graduating that Friday, I think, is it, with the 9th.
Well, it was nice having you here.
So we won't have
a meeting next week.
We won't have one until the 5th. So we won't. This is your last meeting.
This might be your last meeting.
Here we go.
Okay. Well, you've given us some interesting comments.
Yeah, totally.
Right. And the other one's very anxious.
He is. I just asked him if he's going to stay with us through the summer, and he said he was.
So we want to thank you. Thank you very much for being here.
Yeah. And good luck in Chico.
Yeah. Keep in touch with us, would you?
Yeah.
Please do.
If you're up here with nothing to do, just stop in. Council meeting.
yeah, because that's going to be high on his agenda.
That's the place to be.
We'll be rooting for you.
Yep,
absolutely. There's a city planning position coming up. Research that.
Okay, Don, what do you have to say?
First of all, I apologize for getting up and dancing around during the meeting, but I had a horrible Charlie horse, and I'm still suffering. But as far as other comments, I want to thank everybody for the cooperation that we got on the marijuana thing, and hopefully we'll kind of put most of that to rest. We've had a lot of it, I'm sure. Everything else, I think we've gone very well tonight. It's gone very fast. Thanks everybody for your work and support. Staff especially, I think they've done a fantastic job. Mm-hmm.
Connie, where are you headed?
Great meeting. I think we've covered just about every topic possible tonight, I feel like. Right? And unlike Dawn, I don't feel like we put the marijuana stuff to rest. In fact, I'd like to see staff look into the other changes that need to be made that would move the businesses to in line with what we require other businesses, and while I was visiting with them, they shared with me, one of them shared with me that OLCC does not require any kind of visibility blocking from the windows, and both of the businesses that are open now intend to continue that. They have it. The medical requirements require that they block the view of product from the windows, but the recreational does not, meaning they could have a jar of bud sitting in the front window. And I think as a community, a small community, that's not something that we want our kids walking past and seeing edibles and gummy bears and things that are marijuana related, and not understanding that it's a drug or that they need to be 21, or wanting to use it and not understanding the effects of it. And so I think that's one of the things that needs to be addressed. They also suggested time be changed, that their hours extended. OLCC allows them to be open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Sunday, and I personally told them that I would never vote for Sunday, that we're still a small town, and part of the values that the city was formed on was keeping that small town feel, and that I would vote for them to be open Monday through Saturday, but not Monday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. I would vote that their hours get extended on the days Monday through Saturday, but so I think there's still some things that need to be addressed with it, but I'd like to see staff look at those things that makes it fair ordinances for them to run their businesses. and still keep in line with our small town values. So.
I'd like to add to that, they also recommended that between businesses, the distance be increased from 1,000 to 1,500 feet. That was one of the things that they mentioned.
They did, and I agree that I don't know that we need to extend the feet or decide on a number of dispensaries that we want, because regardless, we are a small town and we don't want to be Bend, and we don't want... I drove down, I just drew a blank on the division in Bend. I drive past there every day, but I drove down there because I wanted to see if that was true, that they could have product in the window, and they can. And so I did that today, and you know, there's four dispensaries just all right there in a row, and I don't think that that's what we want for our community. And so I think that that is something that we need to think about, you know, whether we want to extend the distance or just limit the number overall in the community or something to that effect. But we're not done. Sorry, but we're not done. I think that some stuff needs to be cleaned up for sure. So.
But nothing is urgent now.
Right, you know? Right. There's nothing that keeps them from operating right. Or anything like that. So. Okay. Other than that, great meeting.
Stu?
Well, I think we hashed out quite a bit tonight. Glad that we're finally going to have a walkthrough with our flag and monument people. Mm-hmm. And I will be keeping an eye on that. I mean, if Park and Rec can do this, I know we're a government entity, but man, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Trey, thank you.
Absolutely.
And welcome. You may regret it later. I doubt it, because it is it can be very exciting. Excited about our new economic development person coming on board. Everyone, I think, should try to make that EDCO meeting if you can, and meet him, or we'll have him come to a council meeting, because he's got the enthusiasm and everything, which is awesome. I'd like to know at some point before August if the city has any plans for the eclipse that's coming through.
That's a great question.
You know, from what I got, the email from the emergency manager about the number of people that are going to be here and the road conditions. You know, the town's right in the middle of...
it's supposed to be shifted a little bit now.
Your rangeland and forest interface, right in the middle of fire season.
Oh, yeah.
We need to have something in place.
Yeah, that's a good point. We talked about it briefly at our last staff meeting, so it's on our radar. At the city-county managers meeting in Redmond, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, all the emergency responders were there from Jefferson Crook and Deschutes County. Nathan Garraby, who's kind of spearheading it from Deschutes County, were there. So the short answer is we have not made any decisions, we've not made any action plans or contingency plans or anything like that. Partly because from everything, yes, there's going to be the low end, the floor, is like 300,000 people extra in Central Oregon just for this event. And not just for the Monday, for the 2 hours that is the eclipse. They're going to be coming in on Thursday or Friday. They're going to be staying through the weekend and through Monday, and they're going to be trickling out on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it is really a week-long at least type of a thing, on top of the tourist activity that the middle end of August brings anyways. So it's on our radar. In terms of what we should be thinking about, I don't know how much there is directly, because so Madras is kind of in the epicenter of the Path of Totality, which is what it's called. They're 100%, they will get full eclipse. That's the big deal. And then mostly heading east, they're in the path as well. Prineville, even out into, you know, John Day, Mitchell, Spray, that area. So they're going to get hit. It's going to be crazy out there, bonkers. Down heading into Redmond, I think there will be some people who are still trying to catch some of that. Once you get to the north end of Bend, basically I think I've heard it described as like Empire, you're outside of the path of totality, and then by the time you get here, we're still in the 99%, which sounds like a lot. You go 99% versus 100%. Well, it's not that big of a deal. I read an article, they described it as it's the difference between taking someone to prom, which is a big deal, or getting married to someone. There's a little bit of a difference. So it's like the eclipse enthusiast, 99% is nothing. It doesn't cut it. It's no big deal. So I think what I'm trying to say is I'm not worried about, I don't know, maybe I should be worried about a big contingent of the true diehard eclipse seekers coming here. Most of the city of Bend and Redmond, what they've been looking at is cross-coordinating in terms of public works. And then they've even been talking about maybe even trying to keep city employees off the roads. Because who knows what the highway system is going to look like during that day. I mean, you might not be able to drive from Bend to Lecompton, or certainly from Bend to Redmond or Redmond to Madras.
What I'm asking is, at a future meeting, if we can discuss this.
Well, okay. We can. I don't know what we can do maybe coordinate with ODOT and just be aware. On the emails.
When I go to Regional Solutions, it's been a major topic, and they've had everybody there throughout the state. When we go to COCO meetings, it's a major topic. When we go to COAC, it's a topic. What everybody says is ODOT, as far as transportation, there's no way in this world you're going to drive from Lapine to Madras. Unless you want to sit for hours and hours in traffic.
Crazy.
It's going to be a standstill. So I don't think...
Most of it's fire, police is the biggest concern, is what happens if there's a problem and how are we going to get...
Right. And they've got that all under control and handled. Sure. And the Forest Service has got their... They're going to run into problems. I mean, so they've... Regional Solutions pretty much has everything under control.
I agree with that. Yeah. I'd say in terms of services we provide, because again, we're not the Sheriff's Department, we're not Lapine Fire District, mm-hmm. we're not any of that, but I think that we should be aware of and prepared for is an increase in RVs looking to dump septage, mm-hmm. potentially. And so, I don't know how that factors in with us, but that's...
We got it because of the garbage.
Oh, yeah.
So totally. That's why I was asking, water, sewer, essential services. That's the only thing I was asking.
Sure.
I can remember when I first started here a year ago with Public Works, and I went to the Central Oregon Public Works Partnership meetings. It was on the agenda then. I was like, mm-hmm. What's the solar eclipse? 2017? Okay.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, okay, I get it. So we've all formed a partnership to help each other out, but definitely our brothers to the north are going to be getting the breadth of it, it sounds like.
Well,
but it all trickles down.
And I would say too, water and sewer for sure in terms of infrastructure.
Yeah.
But we need to look at it too, and it's all just happening fast. I know it's kind of materializing, maybe they're a little late to the game, but I think folks, it's outside the city limits, but folks at the Park District, we just got an event permit application from Little Prime Rodeo, mm-hmm. wanting to have people camp at their location. So I forwarded that to Tammy and went, what are the land use implications here? I don't know. I mean, it's zoned traditional commercial, but it's out in the middle of a wetland, basically. What does this mean? Is it allowed? Is it not allowed? So we're looking at it from that perspective. I had someone who owns a hotel in town say, can we just have people camp on our lawn? I didn't have an answer for him. So I'm working with Tammy to try to get them answers in the next couple weeks, I guess, because we're T-minus 2 months.
There's definitely, I think it's bigger globally than some people even realize that China considers it, even to see the eclipse, to be the best time in the world to have a baby, to make a baby. Uh-huh. And so there are people, that's why they're willing to pay $60,000 for a place to stay in the path of it, because it's huge. It just, even on a bigger scale than our country, I think we're going to end up with a lot more influx of people that can't
get to
Madras,
right,
than we even realize.
I think that's fair. I'd assume every hotel is already booked.
And look at your industrial park. It's all, you're going to have people.
You will have people camp
going out there without your knowledge. You're going to have out in your pivot field.
I don't know.
I'll I'll turn the hay. I'll turn the sewer on the water. Effort.
So I mean, that's why.
No, I agree. We can. Sorry, I know we just kind of spent some time talking about it, but we'll continue to think through it. Let's take some time to talk with Nathan and maybe say if you had to pick the top three things or five things we should be aware of. And then who are our points of contact? I think the trouble is that in the moment, you're not going to be able to get a sheriff there. You're not going to be able to get anybody there. It's just going to happen.
That's why the city needs to have something.
Well, I don't know what. I know what you mean.
I don't know.
It's going to happen to us.
ODOT recommends everybody stock up on food for a week and stay home.
And maybe that's what the city can
we
do.
We can share that
on your webpage.
Okay.
Emergency information.
Do the Red Cross thing. Have a disaster kit prepared.
Mm-hmm. We'll spend some time on that. We'll give you an update in a month.
And keep the flag up.
You're not welcome in Lapine.
That's not good.
That's not our message.
No, that's not our message.
Okay, anything else?
I think that's enough.
Okay. I've got Jeremy working on Corey's personnel review. When Jeremy gets it done, I'll pass it out to all of you, and then we're going to have an executive session. And if Jeremy gets it done in time, I think we'll have an executive session the 11th.
The 14th, 14th. Maybe before our next meeting.
Right.
Yeah, let's see.
If it works out, if Jeremy gets it. And then we'll combine all notes and stuff like that. But as soon as I get that, I'll drop it off to all of you. And it's a good thing for everything. Okay, and as far as the Facebook, I think the city definitely needs it because I get tons of responses on just my mayor one. You know, it'd be nice coming from the city. I'm having lunch with Lieutenant DeLuca next Tuesday to talk about getting more patrols now that the deputies can drive up in Cago Road and not get their cars dirty. You know, so it's interesting with the speed because now everybody says everybody's going to be going fast too, per se. But he wants to talk about that and talk about stuff that's going on in Huntington Meadows too, with ATVs and stuff. So I'll have lunch with them and I'll report that. He's liking the idea that you're putting those speed things out there. There's a record, isn't there, on that thing, is what the speeds of vehicles are?
You can put a data logger on there. I haven't imposed the data logger option yet.
Do we have it or do
we don't? We have it.
That software or something?
Yeah, I just don't know what I'm going to do with all that data, but definitely have the option.
Well, he's seen it up there and he says, well, what's
the average speed?
What's the average speed? Where are people going? So maybe we ought to do that.
I think 25 is fast up there, but.
Oh, it is.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I think especially 20.
Yeah.
Well, you can look into how do you change that.
Yeah.
As far as the marijuana, I'm glad we are sort of to the end of the emergency stuff part of it. But as far as moving the distances, that's sort of a, you know, that's a private little thing that because they're afraid of one dispensary opening up that might not meet the 1,000, that's just over the 1,000, so they want to raise it to 15 to keep them out. So there's, we got to watch the personal issues from the dispensaries too on that. I'm glad the city's cleaning up all these ordeals, even like with the cemetery. I know it's a pain in the butt, but the same thing with the CCNRs on the industrial park. We'll eventually get there. Cleanup week's going fast and furious. I think it's going good. People are calling the Shine on the Pine. People visited 60 businesses already, and you know, just give them an update. Are we going to have signs? Bigger signs on those dumpsters as far as what could be. There's already something on the dumpsters that tell you what can be put in, what not. And
I'm asking people to check in so I can give them that flyer and they can write the address, but whether they will or not.
Well, I doubt they very will. I might tell you that one. But does the city have a bunch of yellow bags on hand that they can pass out?
We do.
You do?
Is that what you got from Gloria the other day?
Okay, and I'm telling
and
people.
And I got pamphlets on noxious weeds.
Okay.
Hand out to people,
and they have to put them next to the
bags,
next to the
dumpsters. And that they're supposed to sign in.
It says on the flyer, no noxious weeds in the dumpsters.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, and we're just gonna have to play that one by ear, see how it goes this year. You know.
And I'll be monitoring those dumpsters. If somebody's abusing them in some of those not so profile areas, I'm gonna pull them and put it here, one of them at City Hall. you know.
Well, once people start,
or it's
going to
go away.
Yellow.
They're going to abuse the privilege. I'll take it away from them.
Ooh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
It's free, right?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Okay, Jake.
It's business.
Okay. Other than that, that's it.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Meeting adjourned.
I won't take it.
Did you see the look I got?
I missed it. Nate, what are you saying? Nate?
Hey,
I didn't say anything. I have looked at
him. You can say it.